is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
And welcome to episode number 188 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. For those of you who are listening and downloading from iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Play, Google Plus, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Player FM, your hairdryer, whatever, you can download it for free. It's kind of cool. It's the Rob Carson Show podcast. Thank you for joining me. And again, this is episode number 188, recorded on the 17th of October, year of our Lord, 2017. I want to say hi to everybody who's listening on the Podcast Radio Network. Podcast Radio Network, this is on at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard, 5 o'clock Central, and of course, Liberty One TV, a new time for this show. Liberty One TV, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 6 o'clock Central. Welcome, viewers. Glad to have you here. Welcome, listeners. If you get a chance, go to tpublic.com/user/conservatives. That is my politically incorrect swag line, t-shirts and whatnot, just in time for the holiday season coming up. We've got some great designs like veganism is an eating disorder. You can have this put on t-shirts. You can have it put on laptop cases, hoodies, all sorts of stuff. Let's not forget that murderous commie douchebag featuring Che Guevara, not a hero. Proud climate change denier. Russia, Russia, Russia with Jan Brady. My kid is not a snowflake. There are 62 designs up there right now, all very politically incorrect and very cool. Some local designs in Kansas City. Kansas City, because that's how you pronounce it. Kansas City, the baseball version right there. I got your safe space right here. Again, tpublic.com/user/conservatives with two E's. Sometimes war is the answer, and sometimes it is. And by the way, our troops are kicking ISIS ass all over the Middle East. And then, of course, you can't coexist with religious symbols when some want to kill you. All of those available right there, tpublic.com/user/conservatives. All right. Let's get to the news of the day. General Mad Dog Mattis, called Mad Dog for a reason, because he's a badass. Right now, coalition forces are kicking ISIS ass across the Middle East. U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces have control over the state's capital of Raqqa. 90% of the city is under their control. Military operations have finished. There are clearing operations now underway to cover any sleeper cells or uncover that might be there, remove mines, etc. Everything is finished in Raqqa. Our forces have taken full control of Raqqa. This is what happens when you change the rules of engagement back to kicking ass and taking names. That's what it's all about. Barack Obama had an engagement, particularly with our troops in Iraq, where they could not engage the enemy. They could not go after the enemy unless they were under fire from the enemy. Stupid. All it does is embolden the enemy. Right now, 80,000 ISIS fighters in Iraq and Syria have been killed. 80,000 since this president took over. Hillary Clinton, she said that during the campaign trail, and it made no sense whatsoever, that ISIS wanted Donald Trump to be elected.
From public sources, very clear statements by ISIS leaders essentially throwing whatever support they have to Trump.
To Donald Trump now. That makes no sense. That makes as much sense as Russia wanted Donald Trump elected. Hillary Clinton was a fumbling, bumbling fool. As the Secretary of State, she started off with the reset button that actually meant overcharge. Barack Obama said he'd have the ability to do more after the election. And Hillary Clinton ultimately ended up signing that uranium deal with Uranium One. Now Russia has 25% of our uranium. Makes no sense whatsoever when you've got Donald Trump talking as a hawk going after ISIS for ISIS wanting him elected.
They have, as Matt Olson pointed out, said they hope that Allah delivers America to Trump.
Yeah.
They have said that they hope that he is the president because it would give even more motivation to every jihadi, someone who has insulted Muslims, has insulted a Gold Star family of a incredibly heroic Captain Khan. someone who has said he doesn't want to let Muslims from around the world even come to our country. That is a gift for ISIS.
And no, and it wasn't, and it never was a gift, and I don't think they ever considered it a gift, because Donald Trump was a hawk about ISIS. He said he was going to go in, he was going to untie the hands of the military and let them do what they do. So what kind of sense would it make for them, and especially after 8 years of soft leadership by Barack Obama and the rise of ISIS under Democrats, why in the heck would ISIS want that to change? It makes no sense whatsoever. Hillary Clinton fell and broke her toe. Running downstairs in heels with a cup of coffee, fell backwards. She appeared on British TV to promote a book. She was hobbling on crutches wearing a protective boot. So that's what she said. She was running up some stairs, which I find hard to believe. Cup of coffee. I was talking over my shoulder and my heel caught and I fell backwards. Tried to get up and it really hurt. I broken my toe. She added, I received excellent care from your excellent health service. Had to get a plug in for the socialized medicine over there. In Great Britain, of course, also, I don't think that most people in Great Britain would be receiving that level of care. I think she was moved to the front of the line. She stumbled on the stairs while boarding a flight during a campaign rally in Salem, North Carolina in 2016. Fell and got a mild concussion and wore the Coke bottle glasses, the concussion glasses, at her Washington, D.C. home. Fell before her flight to Yemen. 9/11 Memorial in New York. Remember when that she fell backwards and they had to throw her into the van? I guess old people fall, right? It's never a good sign. Never a good sign. Nancy Pelosi. She had another brain fart, I guess. She's been doing a lot of this lately. These brain freezes. And we heard the other day, you know, Congress has their own pharmacy, right? They have their own pharmacy. It's located near the Capitol. I've seen the place. And so Congress is able to get all sorts of stuff, and it's cheap. It costs nothing. I think their health care costs $600 a year. It's full coverage, like you wouldn't believe. And there had been rumors that, and actually it's true, several members of Congress are getting Alzheimer's medication. Who knows? Here she is speaking before reporters a couple days ago. And this is kind of just a bunch of times that her brain just kind of seized up on her.
The United States has authority to exercise first use is one that is ancient. It's from 1946. It was in a different world. And now I think it is necessary for us to address it. There are all kinds of proposals out there. One saying, declaring the United States of America will not engage in first use of a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
I like that one the best. In a bipartisan way, because it's about all presidents, no matter who or she may be down the road. Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, and former Deputy Secretary, Under Secretary of State, who was magnificent in terms of the negotiations and all the rest. It's heartbreaking, and it lacks knowledge. Knowledge about what the role is of FEMA and the others in time of natural disaster. Yeah. Now, I remind that if our country is attacked, the War Powers Act triggers for the executive any and all powers. There is interest in U.S. establishing itself as no first use.
You know, I think that we marginalize old people too much in society. You know, my mom's 88 years old and sharp as a tack. But you know, the United States government says that we ought to retire at 65 with a little pittance, 2% annual increase in your Social Security if you're lucky, Medicaid and whatnot. And they stay in Congress their entire lives and spend their entire lives telling us how to live ours. Nancy, it's time to go work at Walmart. Put that blue vest on, baby. Put that blue vest on. Unreal. Clinton Foundation not doing too well lately. This is a big surprise because they don't have any influence to peddle. I've actually spoken to Peter Schweitzer. He's the author of Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of Why Foreign Governments and Business Helped Make Bill and Hillary Rich, and they have. But apparently, they're not making as much as they used to. Here he is last night on Tucker Carlson Tonight.
The Clintons are in a tough spot, but, you know, that said, there really is no other choice other than for them to give this donation to someone else.
Now, this is the Harvey Weinstein donation. He gave them $250,000. $250,000 to the Clinton Foundation. They're saying they're going to keep the money, by the way.
I'm not buying that this was spent well to help other people. There was an internal review done of the Clinton Foundation that Chelsea Clinton ordered. They asked Clinton employees of the foundation to rate the effectiveness of the charity on a scale from 1 to 10. The average score was a 4. Some of them gave it a 1. So Clinton Foundation employees don't consider the foundation very effective.
Nobody does.
And we know that money was probably not spent in a very effective way.
Yeah. They said they had already spent the money. Harvey Weinstein's money is gone, even though it goes into a general fund. All they have to do is write a check from the general fund. Because it gets all mixed up in there. It's kind of like paint. But Harvey's money's still in there somewhere. And, you know, any one donation could have a little bit of Harvey money in it. So you got to get rid of that $250. They're not going to do that. And the worst thing for the Clinton Foundation is, they have no influence to sell anymore. And their donations, and by the way, and their charity, there's nobody behind the charity. Nobody thinks the charity is doing anything that magnanimous. Otherwise, they'd still be getting tons and tons of money and seeing tons of results around the world. But they're not. The charity was set up, the foundation was set up, the Global Initiative and the Clinton Foundation were set up to peddle influence. That's it. Very little money went to any sort of charitable giving. So, first of all, the donors didn't have their hearts in it. And even those who might have had their hearts in it for a charity of some type, they chose not to give to the Clintons. Here's Harvey.
Well, it's not going great.
Here's Peter Schweitzer.
Based on public reports, they had, you know, two arms of this, the Clinton Foundation and then, of course, the Clinton Global Initiative, CGI. Right. CGI shut down after the 2016 election. It no longer exists. And that was really the central marketplace for influence peddling. Clinton Foundation's tried to position itself in a different way. They tried to amass an endowment over the last couple of years. So they've probably got $150 million parked away so they can certainly give this money to someone else. They have it.
They won't.
But the long-term and medium-term prospects are not good. They don't have access to sell. As that same Chelsea Clinton review pointed out in internal review, that a lot of the high-dollar donors were expecting quid pro quos.
Yes.
And if you don't have anything to sell, people are just not going to give money to your organization. And that's precisely the problem the Clintons are running into.
Now, I also had heard that Bill and Hillary aren't speaking to each other anymore. He apparently was not happy with the book she wrote. He said it was going to be an embarrassment for her to call a book What Happened and then just bemoan why you lost and blame everything on everybody else. Well, they're not talking, and I would predict that if there's not an out-and-out divorce, there will be some sort of a separation. There's no benefit to either one of them for staying together anymore. And let's, come on, man. You know that it's not news. Their marriage has always been a marriage of convenience. It has always been a marriage of political expediency. And it's worked very well for both of them. She hitched her ride on his coattails, lived in the White House 8 years while he was banging interns and everything else that walked. Walked into a carpetbagged her way into a Senate seat, was appointed Secretary of State, ran for office, ran for president twice, lost, and now it's over. Why stay together? Now, I've got some great stuff coming up here on Liberty One TV, right? At least another half an hour of great stories, including the satanic drag queen reading for kids at the Michelle Obama Library. We've got Donald Trump talking about Hillary's support of the NFL protests is one of the reasons she lost the election. We have got colleges around the country advising students what not to wear for Halloween. All sorts of stuff on the way, some comedy, some commentary. Here's what I need you to do, though, because I need you to sign up for LibertyOneTV.com. LibertyOneTV.com You guys are enjoying the show here on Facebook, and I hope you are. There are a lot of great pundits and commentators on LibertyOneTV.com. And the great thing about LibertyOneTV.com, a lot of conservatives, a lot of people with outspoken views from the conservative side of the political spectrum, banned from Facebook, banned from Twitter, censored on those. You can't censor LibertyOneTV. And I promise you guys, every single day, I will bring it as far as commentary, as far as comedy on this program. LibertyOneTV.com. We have never had a time where freedom of speech was so valuable, and we've never had a time where it has been so accessible. The new media has created and given the ability for people like me, who I'm a political satirist, I'm a political commentator. If you've listened to the Rush Limbaugh program, I've written for Rush some of his greatest comedy over the years. But now many people have access through social media, through live video, to create networks and pathways for new ways to express themselves and for you to hear it. You don't have to work at a newspaper. You don't have to work at a radio station. You don't have to work at a TV station. You don't have to work at a network. Freedom, it's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. So if you want to continue watching the show, will you sign up for LibertyOneTV.com? It's just $10 a month. It's $99 a year. There's a special platinum level for sponsors. We'll get you listed as a producer on all of the great shows here. LibertyOneTV.com. That's LibertyOneTV.com. Sign up and return with me to this podcast in a few minutes. All right. Now, for those of you who are listening, I was obviously talking to the audience on LibertyOneTV.com. Podcast Radio Network is also carrying this. If you guys would like to come an advertiser on either one of these, we are getting a lot of coverage, a lot of coverage. My show is averaging over 20,000 people per month, Podcast Radio Network, and per view on Liberty One TV. If you want to become an advertiser, write me, carsonontheradio@gmail.com, carsonontheradio@gmail.com, okay? Let's move on. Donald Trump yesterday had an impromptu and raucous and fun press conference. Hillary Clinton says it's okay for people to take a knee during the national anthem. Donald Trump is saying, no, it's not. And he's actually saying that's maybe one of the reasons she lost the election. Of course, he's speaking metaphorically.
When they take a knee, there's plenty of time to do knees, and there's plenty of time to do lots of other things. But when you take a knee, that's why she lost the election. I mean, honestly, it's that thinking that is the reason she lost the election. When you go down and take a knee or any other way, you're sitting, essentially, for our great national anthem. You're disrespecting our flag, and you're disrespecting our country.
And that's what people think. That's what 80% of the people think. NFL players are saying that shows reverence by kneeling. But the appropriate thing to do is stand and remove your helmet, remove your hat, put your hand on your heart, and face the flag. That's it. That's how we roll, people.
And the NFL should have suspended some of these players for one game. Not fire them. Suspended them for one game. And then if they did it again, it could have been two games and three games, and then for the season. You wouldn't have people disrespecting our country right now. And if Hillary Clinton actually made the statement that, in a form, sitting down during the playing of our great national anthem is not disrespectful, then I fully understand why she didn't win. I know. I mean, look, there are a lot of reasons she didn't win, including the fact that she was not good at what she did.
Whoa.
But I will tell you, that is something that I had just heard about. And I think that her statement in itself is very disrespectful to our country.
Okay. And that's what people think, guys. You know? Now, the NFL is... I just wish they'd shut up and play ball. I just wish they'd shut up and play ball. I don't think that entertainers... I don't think that... professional athletes should take a position. I mean, you can at your own peril But as far as a league is concerned, is activism necessary? I guess you could say that them, the NFL making the players wear pink socks and whatever for Breast Cancer Awareness Month is activism, right? But the league is formally endorsing the Bipartisan Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act. This basically is, and listen, I agree with it, changes life sentences for three-time drug felons to 25-year terms, which I still think is too long, amends the Controlled Substances Act to impose a mandatory minimum of 5 years rather than 10, seeks alternative to prison for nonviolent offenders such as home confinement, and tasks the Attorney General with creating a strategic plan for expansion of recidivism reduction program. I agree with those things, okay? I agree with those. It doesn't matter to me if the NFL does, because I watch football and I like to watch people get tackled and incredible passes and all that stuff. And I don't really care what they think about politics, you know, just don't. Should we talk about Harvey? Should we talk about Harvey Weinstein? Oh, I've got some good stuff today, guys. I've got some good stuff today, but I got to play his theme song. Yeah. Got to add a little levity here, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, lots of Harvey Weinstein stuff.
The days of Weinstein's over. Harvey got a pass for playing grab ass. 'Cause the media protects this filthy rat.
Why?
'Cause he's a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of their fat cats. The late night guys avoid it. Harvey, they won't touch. They love him so much.
But he'll touch them.
Jimmy Kimmel's sad. He don't know what to do. 'Cause the days of Harvey Weinstein are through.
Yeah, he
okay,
done.
Guys. Big finish now. Let's give it to old Harvey one last time.
The late night. Those creeps avoid it. Donald Trump they'll bash, but Harvey gives them cash. Colbert showed up on his colonoscopy.
Nice visual.
Now the days of the Weinstein are history.
The brilliant Jim Gossett put that together for me. I normally write my own comedy. He's the only comedy that I play other than mine because he is just good. Jim Gossett is his name. Absolutely awesome. Jennifer Lawrence, big actress. When she went to Hollywood, she was brought into a room, I guess, and she was auditioning for a role. One male producer told her that she was perfectly effable after she complained about the diet regime meant to make her lose 15 pounds. She was 15. Okay? She was a kid. She was a female executive forced her to stand naked alongside a number of much thinner girls in a bid to have her lose 15 pounds to the role. So she's standing here in a lineup. And when she complains about the diet, she says, "You're perfectly effable as a kid." I don't even know what to say. Guy wrote Beautiful Girls. Scott Rosenberg wrote a lengthy ode on Facebook. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, he's a writer, so this is really good. He was writing about his early days at Miramax Films. He's done Beautiful Girls, Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Never saw that. And here's what he wrote. So, yeah, I was there. And let me tell you one thing. Let's be perfectly clear about one thing. Everybody effing knew. Not that he was raping, not that we ever never heard, but we were aware of a certain pattern of overly aggressive behavior that was rather dreadful. We knew about this man's hunger, his fervor, his appetite. There was nothing secret about his voracious rapacity, like a gluttonous ogre out of Brothers Grimm. all couched in vague promises of potential movie deals. But like I said, everybody effing knew. And do you know how I am sure this is true? Because I was there and I saw you and I talked about it with you. You, the big producers, you, the big directors, you, the big agents, you, the big financiers, and you, the big rival studio chefs, you, the big actors, the big actresses, you, the big models. Everybody knew. He's not including the big politicians, but you know DC was in on this too. You, the big journalists, the big screenwriters, the big rock stars, the big restaurateurs. Ah, there it is. You, the big politicians. Everybody knew. Back to this script here or the Facebook post. I saw you, all of you. God help me, I was there with you. Again, maybe we didn't know the degree, the magnitude of the awfulness, not the rapes, not the shoving against the wall, not the potted plant effing. But we knew something. We knew something was bubbling under, something odious, something rotten. You know who you are. You know that they, that you knew, and you know how I know that you knew. Because I was there with you, and because everybody effing knew. That's a great, great, great piece. Rob Reiner is a despicable human being. I'm just sad that he directed movies like Stand By Me, A Few Good Men, Princess Bride. Those are some of my favorite movies, particularly Princess Bride. Honestly, yesterday he was on MSNBC. And he completely deflected from this rapist. 35 women now, I think, have spoken up. Harvey Weinstein raped women, not only in this country, but overseas. Harvey Weinstein is a sexual predator and a sicko. I'm going to share what Rob Reiner had to say in just a second. But you don't want to miss this. You won't believe who he blames. New York Times printed an apology, I guess, Weinstein. I didn't cover this yet. Here's what he said last week in an apology. He says, I came of age in the 60s and 70s when all the rules about behavior and workplaces were different. That was the culture then. So he's blaming it on growing up in a different era. I have since learned it's not an excuse in the office or out of it to anyone. I realized some time ago that I needed to be a better person in my interactions with people that I work with have changed. Sure. After 20-some years of doing this, I guess, right? I appreciate the way I've behaved with colleagues in the past. It's caused a lot of pain, and I sincerely apologize for it. Too late, Mother Scratcher. My journey now will be to learn about myself and conquer demons, of course. It's the demons. It's not him. I brought on therapists. That's a big deal in Hollywood. Plan to take a leave of absence for my company to deal with the issue head-on. I so respect all women and regret what happened. This is all meaningless because it's over, right? Jay-Z wrote in 444, I'm not the man I thought I was, and I better be that man for my children. The same is true for me. Well, you'll be lucky if you're not in jail, and you'll be lucky if you get visitation. Now listen to this. He pivots to politics because he knows how left of center Hollywood is. I'm going to need a place to channel my anger, so I've decided that I'm going to give the NRA my full attention. Ha ha, there you go. Yeah. I hope Wayne LaPierre will enjoy his retirement party. And he says, I'm making a movie about our president. Perhaps we can make it a joint retirement party. Too late. It's too late. Rob Reiner is such a politico that he's not even willing to say that we should focus on Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein. So desperate to avoid addressing cultural issues in Hollywood, he pivoted at every chance to Republicans. Here's the first part of his appearance on Morning Joe yesterday.
Operates, and can we have an honest, sure?
Here's the thing. Harvey Weinstein's disgusting. Let's just say that. But Fox News had that. Clarence Thomas.
But are we?
Clarence Thomas happened 27 years ago, something like that. Something like that. You've got... It literally took him seconds to pivot to his politics. Here he is deflecting again.
My question has to do not with Donald Trump or the evangelicals or Republicans. I'll attack them.
That's Scarborough.
What about you and Hollywood? Has Hollywood been pathetic in turning a blind eye to this behavior?
That's what I was getting to, because this is not about Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Then why did you just make it about Donald Trump in the first part of this, your response? You idiot.
What this has to do with is women having the inability to break through. And what it's going to take is the men to come forward and say, when they see something like this, to do something, whether it's in Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein or whether it's at Fox News. It takes a long time for these things to come through. Look at what Bill Cosby did. It took years before women were able to come through.
And he's grasping at straws here.
Only coming out now because the floodgates have opened. Let's use this opportunity to have a real conversation and talk about what men need to do, because women cannot fight this battle by themselves.
There he is doing kind of what Weinstein just did, saying we're going to go after the president. And now he's saying what women want to hear. Men need to step up. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean that because he's never done it. He's been in the thick of it. Everybody knew. Rob Reiner knew. Come on, man. If you're such a big believer in men stepping up, you giant flaming turd, why didn't you speak up? Here's a little more with Rob Reiner blaming Donald Trump.
This, to me, is the biggest problem. Women have a hard time. They're either not believed.
This is going to, your head's going to explode. If you have a bike helmet nearby, you just might want to put it on and strap the chin real tight.
They say they asked for it or they're punished. And how can they go up against the world that they're in when they vote for a person who actually admitted?
Now he's blaming women for voting on Donald Trump. Did you listen to this? He's talking about women. And then he goes ahead and he blames women for electing Donald Trump, who's a sexual predator.
They ask for it or they're punished. And how can they go up against the world that they're in when they vote
for
a person who actually admitted to sexually harassing women who becomes president of the United States?
I honestly, what a foul, wretched, awful, fat, dopey human being. I don't even know what to say. I was reading the piece. I won't read the entire piece. This is in Variety, I believe, or the Hollywood Reporter. No, actually, it was Variety. Corey Feldman in 2016 talked about Corey Haim, and he said that there's a culture of preying on young boys in Hollywood. Corey Haim had more direct abuse than I did. With me, there were some molestations, and it did come from several hands, so to speak. But with Corey, his was direct rape, whereas mine was not actual rape. And he also, his also occurred when he was 11. My son is 11. I can't even begin to fathom the idea of something like that happening to him. It would destroy his whole being. Corey died of a drug overdose. His life was ruined. As I look at my son, a sweet, innocent 11-year-old boy, and try to put him in Corey Haim's shoes, I go, oh, my God. Well, of course he was erratic and not well-behaved on sets and things like that. What more could we expect of him? Corey Haim's life was lost. Corey Haim's life was lost. It was ruined by this. It may have happened 20 years after the molestation stopped, but his life was ruined by this. Rose McGowan alleges that Ben Affleck knew about his Weinstein's predatory behavior, failed to speak up. Other A-listers, Matt Damon and Russell Crowe, were named by the journalist Sharon Waxman as unwittingly helping to kill a New York expose on Weinstein back in 2004. Bryan Singer, director of X-Men, has been accused many times for years, including a lawsuit alleging that he made minor shower in the nude on film for Apt Pupil in 1997. He has a whole bunch of allegations against him. But you see, they're boys. And boys don't matter. And the fact that Corey Feldman a couple of years ago came out and shared everything and it was featured on the TV shows, but nothing happened, is because they're boys. Ryan O'Neal star Noah Gavin, real O'Neal star, I should say, Noah Gavin, deleted a quote from an interview with Vulture magazine, said, yeah, Bryan Singer likes to invite little boys over to his pool and diddle them in the dark at night. I want nothing to do with that. I think there are enough boys in L.A. that are questionably homosexual who are willing to do things with the right person who can get them in the door. In New York, there's a healthy gay community. That doesn't exist in L.A. Quote was later removed. Gavin issued an apology because he didn't want to get his ass sued off. The media finally began taking the industry to task over its embrace of filmmaker Victor Salva. 1988, while he was filming his debut feature Clown House, Salva sexually abused his 12-year-old star, eventually pleaded guilty to 5 felony counts, lewd and lascivious conducts, oral copulation with a person under 14, 3 counts for procuring a child for sex, for pornography. Still, Salva has been allowed to direct film after film in the wake of his conviction. From Powder, the movie, to Jeepers Creepers, the trilogy. These are the people who lecture us when they receive awards and accolades. These are the people who wouldn't even look our direction when we were at a restaurant. These are the people who would throw a drink in your face if you took a picture with them. These are the people who will tell you that you should drive a crappy little car and live in a crappy little house because your carbon footprint is too big. Unbelievable. Howard Stern says that he knew that Harvey Weinstein was lying in a 2014 interview. On his show, Stern recalled asking Weinstein whether he took advantage of the mogul aspect when it came to women in the industry. Quote, every girl knows that if she's a competent actress, if she could get on your good side, you would make her an effing star. You would make her star over effing night. Don't tell me it doesn't work like that. Weinstein said, Howard, I wish. The movies are too expensive. The risks are too great. It doesn't happen that way anymore. Stern said, you can't walk into a room and pull your pants off and say, okay, honey, let's talk business. Harvey said, John Frankenheimer, you know, the great director, told us stories about his day in the movies. We were born way too late. Stern says, I knew he was lying. Well, Howard Stern is one to talk. He uses his position to make women do stupid crap, literally have sex in his studio. Stands there and judges them on their body parts. I mean, give me a frickin' break, Howard Stern. Howard Stern knew. Duh. Here's Corey Feldman's haunting words from a couple years ago.
I can tell you that the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia. That's the biggest problem for children in this industry.
The casting couch even applies to children.
Oh, yeah. Not in the same way. It's all done under the radar.
Nobody talks about pedophilia.
It's the big secret.
And it's widespread?
Oh, yeah. I was surrounded by them when I was 14 years old. Surrounded. Literally. Didn't even know it. It wasn't until I was old enough to realize what they were and what they wanted and what they were about and the types of people that were surrounding me till I went, oh, my God, they were everywhere like vultures.
Wow. Saw a brief interview, and I don't know Zoe Brock. She was on 60 Minutes, or is I going to be featured on 60 Minutes this weekend, and she talked about being a young actress in Hollywood and being separated by Hollywood power players like a pack of hyenas.
What worries you or horrifies you the most?
That I was singled out and hunted, not by one predator, but by a pack of them, it seems. We've all experienced, you know, one bad guy, you know, trying to get us in the sack or talking down to us or whatever, one. But when they worked in unison to separate me from my friends and peeled out of that room, it's like a pack of hyenas hunting together, like I'm some kind of wounded gazelle or something, and separate me from the herd.
I'm so separated from this. I just, it's hard for me to hear this. I'm glad that it's been exposed. But when you hear people like Rob Reiner, who's a power player, distracting, even though the evidence is so ungodly overwhelming, this just to me is, honestly, these are the worst people you could ever. These are the worst people you could ever imagine. They are the worst people in the world. They really are. And they exist, like I said, bookends of the United States. Hollywood and Washington, D.C. Hollywood and Washington, D.C. Unreal. A drag queen was invited to read to kids at Michelle Obama's the Michelle Obama Library in Long Beach. Apparently, there was a collaboration between the LBPL, the LGBTQ Center on Long Beach, the Genders and Sexualities Alliance Network, and the LGBTQ nonprofit Imperial Court of Long Beach, along with the Long Beach Public Library's calendar. Join us for a celebration of LGBTQ History Month. All ages welcome. Celebration will include Drag Queen Story Hour featuring Zoki Moki, 12 p.m., a community art hour at 1 o'clock, and an LGBTQ history timeline beginning at 2, brought to you by a coalition between all those groups that I just mentioned. DQSH captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish, where dress up is for real. The queen, this drag queen, Zoki Moki, dressed like a demon with horns. The Church of Satan tweeted, "Hail Satan," in response to one pair's criticism. Zoki Moki boasted that his experience of reading to children while dressed as a demon was one of the best experiences I've had been given as a drag queen. "I got to read to children today, and it was one of the best experiences I've been given as a drag queen." No, I'm sorry. That's for adults. He also refers to himself as Killer Clown on Twitter. Long Beach GOP congressional candidate Omar Navarro is looking to unseat Maxine Waters, says he's outraged. "What are they teaching kids in the school? Demonic teachings alive in Long Beach? I'm outraged they would allow this." Well, you know, what are you going to do? I fault the parents for taking them, you know. The library's going to do it, you know, whatever. I ain't going to go to the library. I'm not going to take my kids to this crap. I got nothing against gay people. But, you know, honestly, if you look at the popular media and the popular culture, you'd swear that 85% of people in this country are gay. Another 13% are drag queens and transsexuals, and then 2% are straight. It's just a little much. Oh, I don't know if you heard this. Bo Bergdahl, he pled guilty to leaving his post, desertion. I hope he spends a lot of time in jail. I have a little montage from the media and Democrats, including Susan Rice, about what a brave soldier he was. Even though he walked off his post, two soldiers were injured severely in the hunt for him. And he says that he was in a cage for 5 years. But there are those who say he literally joined the Taliban in Afghanistan. Here's the montage.
"Jim, I realize there's been a lot of discussion and controversy around this, but what I was referring to is the fact that this was a young man who volunteered to serve his country in uniform.
Doesn't matter. He walked off his post. He abandoned his post.
Time of war. That is itself a very honorable thing.
Unreal.
But honor and distinction.
Jim, really, I mean,
served with honor and distinction.
This is a young man whose circumstances we are still going to learn about. He is, as all Americans, innocent until proven guilty."
Here's what I'd say about that, Wolf. Sergeant Bergdahl put on the uniform of the United States voluntarily and went to war for the United States voluntarily. That takes honor, and it is a mark of distinction.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who sign up for the military and get dishonorable discharges.
Some people say Bo Bergdahl is being swift-boated. Do you agree with that?
This is John Kerry.
He served with honor and distinction as National Security Advisor Rice said.
Elise, there's plenty of time for people to sort through what happened, what didn't happen. I don't know all the facts.
Sounds exactly like you're not sure he served with honor.
That's not what I'm saying, Elise. What I'm saying is there's plenty of time for people to sort through that. What I know.
Yes, but you didn't need to trade five Taliban five-star generals or four-star generals for this pathetic kid.
No, today is what the President of the United States knows, that it would have been offensive and incomprehensible consciously leave an American behind, no matter what, to leave an American behind. In the hands of people who would torture him, cut off
his
head.
I've heard enough of this. Students have created at Ohio State University in a magazine called 1870 Magazine. Not officially affiliated with Ohio State, but it talks about, features a flowchart of How to teach snowflakes which costumes are racist or offensive. Here are some of the questions that is included. It's an attempt to steer clear of offending people and perpetuating white supremacy, you see. Here's some of the questions. Does it humanize inhumane people? Does your costume include traditional headwear from other cultures? Does it make fun of Donald Trump? In parenthesis, that's okay, of course. Does it require blackface milk, or a swastika? Does it poke fun at a recent national or international tragedy? And finally, are you white? My kid's going to school next year. He's going to be going to college, and I'm worried about him and the BS he's going to face. Around the country, universities warning their students against Halloween costumes some might consider offensive, because the worst thing in the world, apparently, is to be offended. University of St. Thomas, unacceptable costumes list. Wearing Native American headdresses, dressing up as a Mexican by wearing a sombrero, dressing as a geisha, any form of blackface. Cultural appropriation defined as the act of taking intellectual and cultural expressions from a culture that is not your own. Hey, if I dress like Dracula, am I culturally appropriating Transylvanians? Right? This can be as simple as wearing a dashiki without knowledge or respect to West African culture, as well as wearing a fake natural Native American headdress without any regard of its sacredness. A UC Santa Barbara social justice workshop set for Tuesday will delve into how Halloween costumes abuse indigenous wear. And teach students how to spot appropriation with the help of bell hooks, whatever that is. Princeton University, students will engage in a dialogue about the impact of cultural appropriation, Halloween, and why culture is not a costume. Shut your effing mouths. Get your asses to your classes. Northern Arizona University Housing and Residence warns against African-inspired get-ups. Pocahontas costumes, Asian rice hats, and more. Southern Indiana will discuss cultural appropriation and decide which costumes are culturally appropriate. If I see a black person wearing a cowboy hat, can I say take it off? Or if I see a Mexican person wearing a cowboy hat, which is native to our country, United States, should we just smack it off their head? An October letter written by the University of Utah Student Affairs Diversity Council. As you get ready for Halloween, here are some tips you can put into practice. Think to yourself, does the actual name on the costume packaging say tribal or traditional? Does the costume include race-related hair or accessories? Does the costume play into racial stereotypes? You answer yes to any of these questions, you should rethink the costume and try again. Shut your gosh damn mouths. Abandoned funeral home is the center of controversy in a Missouri high school. Rogersville, they decided to make the old Preston Marsh funeral home into a haunted house, which is perfect, by the way. Residents are outraged. One Facebook user said the seniors were even allowed to use a funeral home is very disrespectful. The reason for the pushback comes as some residents being upset about having family members go to through the funeral home now that's being turned into an attraction. Very disrespectful. I don't know. Meanwhile, seniors received a lot of positive feedback about turning a place that was once filled with grief into something that brings happiness and excitement. It's a building that served its purpose and will still serve one more before it's torn down. And I kind of agree with these kids. They're going to use the building to host a haunted house fundraiser. Proceeds will go to a safe celebration event for seniors on graduation night. Where my dad, the funeral home was in, my brother's same funeral home, I wouldn't mind. A slavery simulation game has caused outcry at a Phoenix elementary school. Use of an online game that simulates slavery has shocked and upset Phoenix elementary school District parents say the school or the game trivializes the trauma of it. Now, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Humanities, provided funding for the development of Mission U.S., which earned 20 awards and honors during its following its 2010 launch. The creators also provided supplementary materials for teachers who use the game in class. The Flight to Freedom simulation debuted in 2012. It immerses players in rich historical settings and empowers them to make choices that illuminate how ordinary people experience the past. We're so offended by just the name of something. Now you can't even have a thought about something. And don't even try to put it in context and understand why it was created. And you've got the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, known for being the most hyper-partisan, politically correct organization ever. Here's a story from, I'm not sure what this TV station is, but it is a story out of Phoenix about this video game and the reaction that some parents have had to it.
The year is 1848. You are Lucy King, a 14-year-old enslaved on a Kentucky plantation. You want to escape, but how will you do it?
We all help in different ways.
And who can you trust?
I'll have my eye on you.
Now, obviously, this is not a news story. I was incorrect. This is actually the teaser for the game.
Can you find a path to freedom?
Come in, quickly, or you're followed.
Play Mission US online, an interactive way to learn history.
Okay, so they're saying that, some parents are saying, slavery wasn't fun. The simulations help students develop a more personal, memorable, and meaningful connection with complex historical content. And listen, you look at kids, what do they play? And I don't think this is like, the slave running across the cotton field and you're playing like Duck Hunt, for crying out loud. USA Today gave it 4 out of 4 stars. But some people are so twisted with rage and offense, being offended, that you can't even handle the thought of it. You know, this has been kind of heavy. I'm gonna save the Coach Thug story for tomorrow. I'm gonna save that for tomorrow. I got a couple stories I want to get to. 7-Eleven patron was doused with hot cheese. Florida woman is facing battery charge after throwing a cup of hot nacho cheese at a 7-Eleven worker with whom the accused had quarreled. When officers arrived at a Melbourne convenience store Thursday night about 1 o'clock in the morning, they found store clerk Anne-Marie LaFlame with yellow nacho cheese all over her hands or foot in the door behind the register. They arrested a woman, oddly enough, whose last name was Hicks. Stephanie Hicks, 31 years old, she got mad, and they were arguing over the hot cheese dispenser. She decided to use hot cheese as a deadly weapon. She was arrested, said that the clerk had an attitude with her, arrested for misdemeanor battery for, quote, willfully and intentionally throwing hot cheese and a sandwich at LaFlame with the intent to cause her harm. When are we going to get comprehensive nacho cheese control in this country? Did you realize you can just walk into a 7-Eleven and just buy nacho cheese without a waiting list, without a waiting period? Did you realize you can buy as much nacho cheese as you want at 7-Eleven? Did you know that? University of Maryland, a 52-year-old black man charged with destruction of property after allegedly getting caught spray painting a swastika inside campus living quarters. Apparently, he was on the fifth floor of Hagerstown Hall. One student who doesn't understand why this happened says, I guess it proves that you don't have to be a certain race to hate people. This is Abby Gorin. But I mean, it's just, you would think that someone, especially from a race that has been subjected to hate before, you would think, why would you want to reciprocate that to everybody else? Here's the problem. It was a fake hate crime. It was meant to make it seem like there's more hate on campus than there really is. That is what happened. It happened at the University of Missouri with the poop swastika. Okay? It's happened across the country with nooses. Last week, a noose was found outside a dorm room. It was a shoestring that somebody just dropped there. And then there are the fake hate crimes, and there are plenty of them. And 99% of the time on campus, when there is a hate crime, supposedly, something that's left behind, it's fake. It's fake, or it's some idiot overreacting. Finally, a drone has finally hit a passenger plane for the first time. Air Canada last week. First time it's happened in North America. It should not have happened, according to Canadian Transport Minister Marc Garneau. Extremely relieved that the Skyjet plane came to descend with minor damage. It hit them at a height of 1,500 feet. The whole drone thing, I don't know. Who does the drone thing? I thought I might like to have one, but I really honestly kind of get bored with it after a while. It's like, oh, look, I'm looking from things above. Look at that, Nicole. Guys, I want to thank you for listening. If you haven't signed up officially for Liberty One TV, will you do that? Because it's going to help me keep my bills paid. It's going to keep this studio operating. And it's going to keep a lot of people, giving me a lot of people the ability to express themselves freely and for you to take it all in. And you to take it all in. If you want to write me, guys, just go to carsonontheradio@gmail.com, carsonontheradio@gmail.com, okay? And sign up. I'd really appreciate it. I'm on Facebook at Rob Carson Show. I'm on Twitter at Rob Carson. Of course, you can download my podcast off of iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Play, Google Plus, Audio Boom, Player FM. Also, YouTube. It's all there. Just look for the Rob Carson Show podcast, okay? Thanks to LibertyOneTV.com. Again, sign up if you would. I would greatly appreciate it. And also want to thank the Podcast Radio Network for carrying this radio and TV broadcast as well. In the meantime, God bless. Thanks for listening to episode number 189. We'll see you back here real soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.